Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the Falk monster with author Lyle Blackburn. For more than a century, reports of a strange beast known as the Falk monster have circulated among the locals in southern Arkansas. Described as a large, hairy, man-like creature, it's said to haunt the vast Sulphur River bottoms as it travels the secluded waterway known as Boggy Creek. Over the years, the creature has been seen by numerous witnesses, including respected citizens, experienced hunters, famous musicians, and even a police officer. I'm Carol Hughes in for Tony Bruschi, and on this episode, we'll talk about the sightings and theories surrounding the Falk monster with Lyle Blackburn, author of The Beast of Boggy Creek, The True Story of the Falk Monster. And Lyle, thank you so much for joining us today, and tell me, how did you become interested in the Falk monster?
Like thousands and thousands of people in the 1970s, when I was really young, I saw a movie called The Legend of Boggy Creek. And that movie was a sort of docudrama horror movie based on the true life sightings of the Falk monster. It was released in 1972 and played for many years in theaters and drive-in circuit and even on television in the 70s, and the movie was made for $150,000 and made upwards of $25 million. It was a huge movie. And the particular connection I have to it is that I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, and I've lived in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas all my life. And the Falk, Arkansas is in the southern southwest portion of Arkansas, is about 3.5 hours from where I live. So, I was into Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster, but all that stuff seemed so far away. But as fate would have it, my parents, we were actually in Arkansas, and for some reason, my parents were going to a movie and ended up at the drive-in, and then we saw The Legend of Boggy Creek. And I don't remember what age I was, but I was very little, but I remember every bit of it because it just had everything to it, you know, the deep woods, the southern feel, and this Bigfoot-like creature that was in the movie very much dangerous, trying to get into houses, and it was very creepy. So once I saw that, that became my favorite all-time movie and really sort of brought cryptids into my own backyard, if you will.
I think a lot of times when you're a kid and you come across something like that, because I think I remember that Strange But True book with all the monsters in it. Then you grow up and you become an accountant or something, but you actually, that fascination stayed with you throughout your life.
Yes. You know, I basically aspired to be a musician, and I had a lot of talent at writing. So all my life, I've had pretty much all of my jobs or career have been touring with bands and things like that. And at the same time, I wrote for written for some big horror magazines and music magazines. And so I always wanted to write a book. It just, you know, one of those things. And I thought, well, what would I write about? What is my favorite topic? And I thought, you know, The Legend of Boggy Creek, you know, there was a huge movie sensation about it, but behind that, that was based on a true story, true sightings that people had reported in this little town that was, you know, 3 hours away. So I just sort of then transitioned from cryptid paranormal enthusiast to sort of an investigative journalist. And I started going to the town and I started talking to people, interviewing people, going into the Sulphur River bottoms there and around Boggy Creek and just immersing myself in that story. And that's what resulted in my Beast of Boggy Creek book, which I just sort of wrote because I wanted to sort of look into this case as an adult, you know, what's true, what's, you know, what was the story about the sightings and the history of making the movie. And the book was very well received. I got a publishing deal with Anomalist, and then shortly thereafter, some of the television shows like Monsters and Mysteries in America and Finding Bigfoot were covering classic Bigfoot stories. And I was, you know, invited to be on these shows. So that just sort of like, well, this is going well, so I'm going to keep going, right?
So let's talk about the monster itself. What are the reports of what it looks like?
It's essentially described as standing 6 or 7 feet tall. It's walks upright on two legs, covered in dark hair. It's a bit scraggly. And, you know, some say its hair hangs in its face. Some say they can see dark skin. It's described very much in terms of an ape-like creature. But of course, walking upright, I mean, it's reflective of Bigfoot and sort of a Southern Bigfoot motif or persona. It's also said to have 3 toes instead of the typical 5 toes you find on Bigfoot. Now that's kind of a whole side tangent about this whole footprint thing, because different types of footprints have been found, but essentially in the movie, they really played up the aspect of the 3 toes, which kind of made it more monstrous. And there really was a big trackway found in 1971 across a bean field that was, no one could figure out what had made it. It just appeared to be the creature. So that's kind of the general description. So people ask always, you know, is it a Bigfoot? Is it not? I mean, it's a Bigfoot like creature. Certainly it's just one that lives in a much different place than we picture the traditional Pacific Northwest Bigfoot territory.
When you say Bigfoot, you know, I think of a Bigfoot, like the legend of Bigfoot. Are there more around the country, you think? Could all these be kind of the variation of the same monster? Like, that's Bigfoot. This is like his relative. Could they all be kind of connected?
I think so, certainly. I mean, you know, the casual, you know, observer of Bigfoot legends and so forth, you know, there's sort of a mindset that there's a one Bigfoot or the Bigfoot, the famous Patterson-Gimlin film. And there's this Bigfoot that roams around in the Pacific Northwest. But in truth, sightings of these type creatures have been documented in nearly all 50 U.S. states, Canada, other countries, China, Australia, just everywhere. And, you know, as far as just the U.S., certainly there has to be, if these reports are credible and something is there and real, that there has to be a wider range of variations in this creature, you know. And it could be that they're all sort of related in terms of the biological origin or what they are. But depending on where they live and environment, they could certainly adapt and change to have other characteristics, just like other animals. I mean, you got grizzly bears that are huge, you mm-hmm. know, big and fuzzy. And then if you have a black bear who lives in Texas, it's a much smaller animal with shorter hair, different color. So I think conceivably, you know, Bigfoot creatures known as Bigfoot would be a similar way, where there's just variations.
So do you think that there could be sightings of a bear, some kind of very large, extra large bear? Maybe he's unusually large. Could people confuse that with a Bigfoot? And how do you kind of separate the two?
Well, certainly there can always be confusion, misidentification, hopeful thinking, certain conditions that you might think you saw a Bigfoot, and, you know, we got to be realistic about that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you know, I've interviewed now hundreds and hundreds of people that have had sightings, you know, not just in the Falk area, but all over the country. And there is a certain portion of those where it's hard to dismiss what they're saying. And I've gotten to where I can very well judge a credible person and the people who have what I consider compelling stories versus just persons who have, say, they've seen 40 Bigfoots or whatever. And some of these have had very up close sightings to where there's no way it's a bear. Certainly if you saw something really quick, you know, and the bear stood up and it, you know, sort of moved, you could say, okay, yeah, maybe it was a Bigfoot. But there's just too many of these sightings that people have a much better view and are, you can easily discern a bear, its shoulders slope into narrow. They have ears at the top of their head. They don't so much look like apes or, you know, human-like as the Bigfoot report. So I think they're two different things.
What are some of the earliest sightings that you've heard of the Falk monster?
Well, there's some sightings of what was termed as wild men that date back to the 1800s. And in and around some of the counties in Arkansas and in northern Louisiana and even Texas, these newspapers would carry these reports of hunters seeing what they called monsters, I guess, you know, but the term was wild men because this was long before the term Bigfoot was coined, but they would describe them as, you know, these things that walked upright on two legs that could be 7 feet tall and covered in hair. And, you know, you read those stories and say, well, you know, that's a Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And they're date back, like I said, to the 1800s in that general Arkansas area. As far as the very narrow specific area near Boggy Creek and Falk, the first sighting that I have that's a possible sighting is 1908. And that was by a young girl who was in this area of Mercer Bayou, which is a swampy area. There's a lot of swampy bottomlands there, who said she saw this, you know, upright ape-looking thing. And then from there, I've literally interviewed people who've had sightings, you know, in the following years, and some whose relatives had sightings in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, in 1950s. And once you start going forward, you can start to talk to first person people who had seen it. So they go back many years.
What are some of the more interesting stories that you came across?
Yeah, there's a whole range of these, you know, from brief sightings to, you know, quite scary encounters. Some of the ones I like the best are when hunters report seeing these things, because, you know, hunters are in the woods. They are in places where can be very likely to see something that lurks deep in those areas. And hunters are also able to discern between other animals in this. So, you know, there was a particular incident in the 1960s where some hunters in Falk saw this upright, hair-covered thing walking on two legs up on a ridge. And they ended up later telling the sheriff of the county about this encounter. There was another woman back in the 1960s who was sitting in a tree stand hunting, who watched this dark, hairy figure come up out of a pipeline ravine and run diagonally right past her under that tree stand. You know, at the time they didn't run to the newspapers or anything like that, but that story, you know, was well known among several residents who all said this woman is extremely credible. And, you know, if she said she saw something strange, then certainly she did. You know, going forward, I've interviewed quite a number of people, and one in particular, this young man, Terry Sutton, who had a sighting in 1981 on his family's property. Just briefly, he was a teenager at the time. And in 1981, everybody kind of knew about the Falk monster because the movie had been released. So it was something, you know, in the back of the mind of anybody who was out in those woods. But they had a big chunk of property and it was private land, and nobody hunted or did anything on it. And he was fishing on this little pond they had out there one evening. And as it was starting to get dusk, he was just quietly fishing, and he heard something walking in the leaves. This was in February. And he looked up and he saw this huge upright ape-like thing slightly hunched over, walked up over a ridge where he could see it about 60 feet from where he was in the boat. And it was walking sort of sideways. It did not see Terry. So it did not look at him. And he watched this thing walk across that ridge, then back over down into another draw and disappear from sight. And he got a very good look, said it was at least 6 feet tall. Definitely not a person. It wasn't a bear. It wasn't somebody in a hokey suit. He could see it very well that it was a natural animal of some sort. And of course he panicked at that point.
I would have too.
You know, and just ran back where he was met by his father. And his father, after hearing the story, they went down there and tried to look around. They didn't see the creature, but they could smell sort of a pungent odor. And I've gotten to know Terry and his family and his father, and have become friends with them since getting that report. And I'm telling you 100%, he saw something that just is unexplainable.
Now, is the monster aggressive in any way, or have there been any accounts of it attacking things or damaging things, you know, or maybe they might have some animals on their farm and all of a sudden they're missing, and then they see the tracks or something. Have there been any sightings like that or experiences like that?
Yes, there's been quite a few that portray the creature as aggressive or dangerous. And actually in the Legend of Boggy Creek movie, and one reason this movie worked so well is because some of those early reports, which came kind of out of the late 60s and early 1970s, and those were widely covered in the newspapers up there, by the way, and that's kind of what prompted the film to be made. But in one of the most famous and the climactic sequence of the movie, there was two families, the Ford and Taylor families, who had moved to Falk and rented a house. And the guys were there for work with their families. And within days of them renting this house, they began to notice that something was creeping around and coming up on the porch. And it was kind of a little unsettling. And then eventually they confronted this and saw this upright thing with brown hair run from the house and run off towards the woods. As it kind of went the next night, it put its hand through the window trying to grab at them. It tried to, you know, get into the house, and then they ended up taking a shotgun, as I guess a very Southern stereotype thing, and went out there and started shooting at this thing. And it came and attacked this guy, Bobby Ford, and he wrestled with it and he got free and nearly jumped through the screen door on the front of the house, and ended up having to be taken to the Texarkana Hospital. And that's kind of how the story came out, when they tried to explain to the doctor what happened and said Bobby was attacked by a big hairy monster in Falk. And so that sort of set the stage for this sort of horrific, scary story. And then, of course, like you said, yeah, there was incidents where people's livestock were missing. Hogs had been picked up right out of their pen and lifted over the fence. Like, these are heavy hogs, you know, just mm-hmm. unexplainable. And, you know, people begin to connect strange disappearances of pets and livestock and everything else, of course, with this Falk monster.
Now, I would think, as with any animal person, you know, we all reproduce. It just seems to me that there wouldn't be just one. That's why it makes sense there would be a monster in Arkansas, Texas. There'd be sightings in all 50 states. It doesn't make sense for there to just be one. Seems like there'd have to be a couple, maybe. Kind of an endangered species, if you would.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, logically, if these things do exist, then there needs to be some sort of a population, a viable population that could explain sightings for so many years. And same goes for Bigfoot in general, obviously. But, you know, the movie kind of plays it up as this lone creature and stuff. But that was sort of served the purposes of the movies. But in truth, the sightings kind of reinforce that there's more than one, for sure, because the differences in height, even some of the hair color differences, people report just don't seem consistent with the same creature over and over. And, you know, I got a very credible incident report where I interviewed a woman who had a sighting in 2014 who, in clear daylight, at 10 a.m. just north of the Sulphur River, drove up on this thing that was walking across the road. And she said it was upright, covered in hair. She said it was only about 5 feet tall, though. So she saw it very, very clearly. And she was kind of confused in a way because she said, aren't these things supposed to be bigger? I said, well, ma'am, these things could have offspring. And, you know, perhaps you saw a juvenile. So I felt like she wasn't making this up. I knew she wasn't making it up because she was very distraught about this whole thing. And, you know, because if you're going to make up a story, you're going to say, oh, it was this huge Bigfoot. She just told it like it was. And, you know, that sort of reinforces that, that these things, you know, they're not just born 7 feet tall. They're going to grow up and there's going to be different heights.
Right. And you can't have a sighting in 1908 and 2014 and it, you know, chances are it's not over 100 years old. There would be more than one. You know, it could be a descendant of the one from 1908.
Exactly. You know, and you always get these, you know, people, oh, you know, I was my cousin in a suit, you know, or whatever. I'm like, oh man, your cousin's been working hard for a century, you know.
That suit must be passed down from generation to generation.
Right. It's just ridiculous. So, you know, when you look at the sightings as a whole, especially like I have, where I've been sort of a center point of collecting them, you can see the differences in the descriptions and the heights and the locations and everything else. So that, like I said, if it's a true entity of some sort, there is no way there's just one.
Do you find that people go out to hunt for it? Because it seems like it would be really difficult. Have you ever done anything like that, gone out to kind of look for it or seen any, talked to anybody who like saw the sightings of the footprints? I'm assuming you've talked to someone who's seen that.
Oh, certainly all of the above. I mean, you know, it's sort of in terms of quote unquote hunting it, back in the 1970s when the newspaper report started being circulated, not only in the local Texarkana Gazette, and Texarkana is the closest big city to Falk. They were carried by the Associated Press to newspapers all over. And so you had all these yahoos coming down there with shotguns and six packs flooding those woods. And that became even worse when a famous movie was out. The sheriff department just had a heck of a time with all these people coming in there with guns and everything else. Nowadays, you know, in terms of hunting, it's more like Bigfoot researchers hunting, looking for evidence. And, you know, I grew up hunting and fishing and all that stuff. And as a researcher of these things, I do definitely go out there and, you know, first and foremost to look at the area and to know the backdrop of where people are having these sightings. But certainly I've been up there looking what, you know, for anything I can see for my own self and for many years. And I know that area very well. I've interviewed, you know, people that have seen footprints. I've seen a couple of trackways or footprints that I think could have been left by the creature. I've heard howls and something has stalked us, myself and a friend in the woods. And I've even had a possible sighting. It wasn't very clear, but it could have been the creature.
When you said stalked in the woods, that gave me goosebumps. That's like a nightmare for me, being stuck in the woods and something is chasing me. You talked about a woman seeing, as having a sighting in 2014. Is that the most recent one, or do they kind of continue up to today?
They continue up to today. You know, I haven't really gotten one this year that I thought was certainly the sighting. But in the last 3 or 4 years, yeah, I've gotten quite a few that I've interviewed people or what have you. So yeah, it just kind of perpetually continues.
And I saw on your website that Falk, Arkansas has the Falk Monster Festival. What's that like?
Many of these small towns that are associated with creature sightings will host festivals. And many years ago, it kind of started as a thing called Monster Days, where the townsfolk would just sort of have a like an art festival in the streets, and they'd have a somebody dressed up as the monster. So it had kind of had a loose connection to it. In more recent years, in the last 10 years, they've had various festivals which are more oriented toward presentations about the history of the creature and vendors that sell Bigfoot related items and even bus tours around the area. So the Falk Festival, as it stands now, which is organized by a guy named Craig Woolheater, who also organizes the famous Texas Bigfoot Festival in Jefferson, has been behind this and sort of been a way for people to celebrate the legend and to either come and have an excuse to come there or to learn more about it. And the festivals are fun. You know, people, you know, everybody's sort of a like-minded thing. Everybody's fascinated with it. And people listen to the presentations and go on the tours. And there's a place known as the Monster Mart, which is sort of a convenience store, souvenir shop, pizza place. So, you know, you get hundreds of people in there, you know, just come to the town. And it's fun for everyone, really. I mean, some of the townsfolk, you know, kind of, it's always split. People are like, it's silly. And then some of them love it, kind of a love hate thing.
Yeah. I think it's fun. The city embraces it.
They do. I mean, they're the Falk police car, literally the logo has the sort of silhouette of the creature, like the famous silhouette from the Legend of Augie Creek movie poster. I mean, the mayor is all in on it. I mean, it's like they're associated with it anyway. They might as well do something out of it. And actually the Falk Festival is more of a fundraiser, and the money has been given to the Falk School District, a good portion of the proceeds. So it's been something that certainly is beneficial in a good way for everyone.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Lyle Blackburn. Our next episode, we're going to talk about other monsters. Texas Bigfoot, Momo, a Missouri monster, and the Mothman of Point Pleasant. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, try everything commercial free. Become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it for 3 days absolutely free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Find everything there, all ad free as well. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thanks for listening.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where
where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.